jump. Russ, that picture was frightening.
Yeah.
Another triple-double, and is he an actual wizard? This is a valid question, people. Look at this.
Passing Oscar is mind-blowing.
And where's LeBron?
Yes.
The Lakers, they are missing their finals MVP. Is there a danger of falling into the play-in? If Where's Waldo was that easy, I would have found them more easily. The Nets, they want to run down a dream.
He looks like Tom Petty.
But Steve Nash says they won't back down. That was fantastic. And we're debating Chucks. Not those Chucks, these Chucks. We'll explain all of it later.
Bubba Chuck.
That was fantastic. Welcome to The Jump. You're not Chuck, are you?
No.
No, just checking. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by a pair of NBA champs, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. Richard, do you promise to get along?
I hate
that.
No, look at Perk. He's already scowling. He's got the little wrinkles in between his forehead. He's like ready for battle right now. Meanwhile, I'm just L.A. gloss, nice and shiny.
Rachel, how you doing? Always great to see you. You know what? I'm really cool on RJ because, you know, it was a topic I brought up yesterday. And he just jumped the ship, like from the NBA Brotherhood, and went on the other side with the NFL. So I'm really cool on him. I'm cool.
You can talk to me.
I said it was harder to win an NBA championship than Super Bowl. We're gonna get to that.
We'll get to all of that later. And by the way, shout out and congratulations to Kendrick Perkins. It's officially. He has extended his time with ESPN.
What?
Big deal. And Richard.
They gave this man three. They gave this man contracts.
He's mad just saying. Right now.
Oh, we're talking about that the whole show. Somebody get Bob Sugar on the phone.
But first,
call my agent. Who's my
agent?
There we go. Do I have an agent?
Yeah, we need to talk about that. All right, let's get to some basketball, people. There is really only one issue that matters when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. Can all three of their big stars be healthy at the same time? And can that time be the final month of the playoffs? If the answer is yes, they are going to be hard to stop, regardless of how much playing time they've had together, regardless of how average their defense is, regardless of losing streaks like they're on the one that they're on right now, which last night in Dallas extended to four games. If you have a healthy Kevin Durant, a healthy James Harden, and a healthy Kyrie Irving on the floor together with the depth that GM Sean Marks has been working all season to fill in around them, no, they are not guaranteed to win a title. Please listen, I said that. They are not guaranteed to win a title. But they will be arguably the most formidable offensive team ever assembled, playing in an era where offense rules. Of course, all of that is an if. It has been 111 days since Harden debuted in Brooklyn. And during those 111 days, only six times has everything aligned for all three men to play a complete game together. On the other days, especially when it's Harden who is out, take a look at the numbers. The Nets are 5-1 when all three stars play a full game. They're 18-3 when it's Harden plus either KD or Kyrie, and they are 13-13 the rest of the time. Or to put it another way, when all three guys are healthy, the Nets are the Incredible Hulk. When they are not, they are more Bruce Banner.
Hey, look at you.
And when you're, say, the Hulk, it doesn't really matter. If some dude corners you in an alley and punches you, really feel it, and you can always turn around and just step on the guy. If you're Bruce Banner in that situation, you have to be agile to duck the punch. You have to be smart to figure your way out of the alley. So when last night in Dallas, after the Nets had shown up as, yes, Bruce Banner, they had to actually figure out a way to duck the Mavericks' punch. And they almost pulled it off, thanks to a spectacular scoring night from Kyrie Irving. He was 10 for 14 with no turnovers in the first half. By the time the game was over, he would have 45 points, including 13 of the Nets' final 17 in the game. Maybe Kyrie was showing out for some of the high-profile fans courtside. Not only were former President George Bush and his wife Laura there, but so was future Hall of Famer Dirk Nowitzki cheering for his old teammates. And while Luka didn't have his most monster game, he was great when it mattered. This driving layup was an answer to a KD basket. And, okay, did he just do the MJ shrug after that one? Maybe the security guard shrug? I don't know. And then here, less than a minute to go, a little Dirk homage in front of Dirk. That's so nice. Look at that. The win moved the Mavericks one game up on the Lakers and Blazers for the West's fifth seed. Now, as for the Nets, well, take a listen to them after the game. They had a lot to say about how this losing streak was actually good, since it revealed some weaknesses the team can work on before the playoffs.
Stuff happens, but I think it's good that we have these tests now and these challenges. You know, it's been too easy at times. So it's good.
When you're playing playoff teams that need wins, that are, you know, really coming out to try to win these games and play at a high level. So this is good for us.
I mean, sure, it is good to know what you have to work on for the games when you are Bruce Banner. If there are stretches of the playoffs when the Nets are down a superstar, they will need to be more agile, play smarter. But there's also as good a chance that the Nets will romp through the playoffs like the Hulk. And if that happens, it is hard to see any of that other stuff mattering that much at all. So, Richard, where are you on this? I am not concerned about the four-game losing streak because I think that if the guys are healthy in the playoffs, this kind of stuff isn't going to be a factor.
Well, I think it also goes and proves how important having all three of these stars are going to be, because what you've noticed in these four games is you've seen a bit of a drop-off with kind of the other guys, whether it's, you know, Blake Griffin or Bruce Brown or Landry Shamet, Joe Harris. These guys have dropped off a little bit, and a lot of that has to do because, one, they were the ones that were kind of holding down the fort when all of the superstars were kind of rotating. And you're also missing the guy that was leading the league in assists that was getting those guys easy shots and creating for them. So you lose out on that guy, and then you have your two guys, Kyrie and Kevin, are predominant scorers. Like, that's what they do. So if you look at the four-game losing streak, they lost to Portland, they lost to Milwaukee twice, and they lost to Dallas. These are all playoff teams. They're just not, like, playing great right now. And they were close games. All of these went down the stretch. So I'm not worried, but it is, if they're going to be who they want to be, all three is important.
There you go. What about you, Perk?
You know what?
Nah,
you know,
here we go.
First of all, what's alarming is Steve Nash's comments, okay? That's the first thing. And you know what's disturbing? Is that y'all doubled down basically and agreed with him. Here it is, okay? And when you're talking about winning a championship, okay, when it's less than 10 games left in the season, I don't want to hear about this is good for a team doing on a four-game losing streak. Like, that's ridiculous. Being on a contender, I've been on multiple contenders.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the season, you want to be playing your best basketball. You want to be hitting your peak. The Nets are not doing that. And then to Richard's point, saying he went all about offense talking about the others and failed to realize that the Nets are giving up almost 115 points a night, okay? So that means that they don't have any type of defensive identity. And when you're playing a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that you possibly could face in the Eastern Conference to get where you're trying to go, you don't want to give that team no hope, no hope whatsoever that they could beat you. And right now, Giannis is feeling good about himself. Jrue Holiday is feeling good about himself. And so is Chris Middleton. So what Steve Nash said, he's 100% wrong, in my opinion, because you want to be playing basketball heading into the playoffs. And Richard, you know better.
No, Perk, I understand you want to be playing your best basketball. I think, again, I'm not going to try and interpret his words, but I will give an example of, like, look, if you have been number one and you've dealt with all of this kind of injuries and all of these things, you've been number one, you've been tried internally, but you've never really been tried externally. And now they're getting external challenges that will allow them to up their level of playing, knowing that they need to address some things, they need to focus. So this is just a moment, in my opinion, that they are trying to, like, address in a positive
way. But Richard, they only need to address and focus on them if they end up in a key situation without their three stars. And that could absolutely happen. Because look, it's been 4 or 5 months and they haven't had their three stars for more than 6 games. So clearly, just that key month, the conference finals and finals rounds, if they get that far of the playoffs, there is as good a chance as not, going on the sample size we have so far, that they could be more vulnerable and stuff like playing well as they go into the postseason, Kendrick, like you're talking about, some of the stuff that they talked about having to clean up in the press conference last night, that stuff will matter. But guess what? If they have all three guys and they're all three healthy, they are the Incredible Hulk. Taking a little punch here or there, not quite having this move clean, not quite having the defense as good as they can be. We have just seen the numbers. They're not guaranteed to win, but a lot of that little stuff, we have seen it. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't.
Yeah, but Rachel, listen. We are underestimating how good the Eastern Conference really is, right? A fully loaded Boston Celtics team that is healthy, a Hawks team that is playing well, a Knicks team that is playing well, that this team could possibly face in the first round. Hell, the Miami Heat. But this is what I want to tell you. This year is way different than any other year due to the COVID protocol situation and injuries, right? So when you look at James Harden, he's dealing almost with the same situation as LeBron James, where you used to being able to get some type of five-on-five scrimmaging throughout the course of practice or throughout practices and things like that. They don't have that anymore. James Harden hadn't played for almost 2 months. So with that being said, his practices and his tests is going to have to be in game. Okay, so that's not a good thing. Secondly, Steve Nash do not have his rotations down. He don't know if he want to go with DeAndre Jordan. He don't know if he want to go with Blake Griffin
he's
at the five.
He don't know if he want to go with
You trying everything with less than five games left
yes,
in the season?
Yes, yes. Like, first of all, you're going – you want to be playing your – you don't want to be playing your best basketball when you – okay, gracious. You don't want to be playing your best basketball when you show up in the postseason. You want to continue getting better as the postseason continues. And if you're a championship team, you want to be playing of the season. You want to be playing good basketball. Four games ago, which was a week ago, we weren't having this conversation. So they have a blip against four postseason teams shorthanded. That's not like, yes, their defense has been an issue. Yes, they're shorthanded.
They got two. Even without James Harden, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are two of the top duo in the league.
And they're still shorthanded because they're missing the guy that has been playing point guard for them all year.
Yeah.
And it's not just Kyrie's been putting up numbers. Kevin Durant's been putting up numbers. It's been the other guys that
but
have dropped the playoff
defense. They're giving up 115
points. One more time, Producer Steve, with that graphic. One more time. Help me out. Show the numbers of when – there we go. No, the other graphic, the Kyrie, KD, when Harden plays, that graphic. Anyway, they'll get there.
That graphic's awesome, too.
This
there we
all
go.
All the graphics are good on the show. So, look, when they're all three there, they're 5-1. It doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win. It is a very small sample size. But if we're going to look how they did when those games, these are the games we have to look at, you're winning 83% of your games when James plays, which is a whole other round of sample size. You're winning 85% of your games.
Say
also
louder.
Very good. So again, I know they've got all these little things to clean up if they end up being the Bruce Banners, and they might end up being the Bruce Banners, and we've seen what happened. It happened last night. It happened against Milwaukee. I'm just saying, if they're the Hulks, this little stuff doesn't matter because if you get in a tough situation, you just step on the guy. That is what has been going on with the Nets. Let's run it back. Maybe the most iconic day in NBA history. A lot has happened on May 7th, people. Take a look here. Nick, help me out. 89, yeah. Jordan over Elo. The moment, the shot.
Oh, that was their first mistake.
The freeze frame of that is just incredible.
Right. What's the next?
95, Reggie Miller.
No.
This is 94. Sorry, we were a little behind
the
here.
Eight seeded
Nuggets tapping the Sonics, 1994.
This one hurt. I love Sean Kemp and that Seattle team. Gary Payton, they were so good.
Let's get to the Reggie Miller highlight. Ripping the hearts out of New York. 8 points in 9 seconds.
Do it again. God, just look.
Producer Steve's in our ear.
I'm not allowed to say
anything. That was an offensive.
I'm not allowed to say anything. Man up. I'm not allowed to say anything about the Knicks, but man, they've had some moments.
Oh, man, come on. That Reggie spike is iconic. 2002, Allen Iverson, our greatest living American. He has a different idea about practice than you do. Take a listen.
We just talk about practice. We sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Well, Coach,
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game. At the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man.
Can I change
We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Great now. Allen Iverson would be great now because they don't practice. They don't ever practice. And those were Larry Brown practices in the early 2000s, everybody. So that was like 2 hours a day, an hour and a half of film session. Those were hours.
Kirk, what was your favorite from those moments, those May 7th moments?
It was Allen Iverson because he changed the game. You know why? Not only did he make it cool to wear baggy white tees, do rags with the fitted cap, but guess what? He changed the game for his practices in all sports. Since this interview, practicing then went down the roof, especially for superstars, and rightfully so. He made a great point right here. You want it now or you want it in the game? I'm playing 40-plus minutes.
Tell people to stop calling you, Kirk.
Forget practice.
Put your phone on airplane mode.
I have said on the show, I have gone in depth and explained all the different factors going on that day for that press conference, how they got to that point, what happened afterward. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to say that press conference was a work of art. It belongs in the Louvre. And that's the best moment from this date, Richard.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you have something else to say?
No, I don't have anything to say other than, one, put your phone on airplane mode. And two, Perk, I just want to say that the best one that I saw was Reggie Miller, because I was watching that as a kid. That was back in the day where there was the NBC triple headers all day long basketball. And I would just sit there
good
and just be like.
By the way,
good
26 years ago today, also, Michael Jordan debuted the Concorde. So clearly the best day, May 7th, in NBA history. Coming up, Luka Doncic got awfully close to another technical last night. That would have meant a one-game suspension. Can he avoid picking up one over the next six games, rest of the regular season? We will break it down. Keep it locked.
You and Dwight Howard tied for the most technical fouls with 15. And if you get one more, you get suspended a game. How you, over your last six, how are you going to remain Luka and play to a high level, but also not let your emotions get out of control?
Yeah, for sure. You know, this season has been long. You know, I with official, I wasn't myself this season. You know, I've complaining way too much, and I got to work on that. You know, and I just got to stay calm and just not talk to them. I got to learn from that.
Welcome back to The Jump. You just heard Luka Doncic. I'm here with Richard Jefferson, and apparently you pulled some strings in the control room and got Perk kicked off the show for a minute.
Honestly, thank God. Like, he just got a new deal, and I'm so happy for him. But, like, the best part about it is hopefully he can afford some new internet. Like, that's really what's
Perk
most important.
Perk will be back. I do want to get to Luka,
though. But why?
Luka just one technical foul shy of a suspension.
Yep.
Richard, he has said, don't worry, I won't get one. But then he came close last night. Do you trust him to avoid it? It's six games this season.
Now, look, referees know. Referees are aware.
Yeah, yeah.
They know these things. And so if he's making an effort not to do something, the referees will be in understanding because they can see a behavior change. So they will also, like, try and, like, respectfully. But the – oh, he's back. But the real thing about Luka is that what if there's a scuffle and two guys get into it and he's just pushing? A lot of times referees will call double text just to eliminate that.
Right.
And so I understand that. So I believe that he can do it, but I also feel like he put himself in this position. That's why I love to hear the maturity of him saying, I need to be better at this because we got seven games to go. We're in a race. I can't afford to miss a game.
Right. I get that. Perk is back. Welcome back, Perk.
Welcome back, Rachel. I mean, look, RJ is just giving out bad advice, telling me to put my phone on airplane mode when I should have just left it alone. All of a sudden, my phone just went out. Like, just stop, man. Just, it's not your day. But look, I trust Luka, okay? I do trust Luka. As a guy that led the league in technical fouls a year and came in second third in another year, he is going to be able to control himself because guess what? He don't want to cost his team, and like Richard said, it's going to show maturity, right? But look, this is where I have a problem at. The referees have to realize that this is the emotional game. And everything is not going to be soft-spoken. Sometimes guys are going to overreact in a certain type of way because you're in the heat of the battle. So it's hard to calm down.
No. Stop it, Perk. Listen, really quickly. You just said, right? Now, we've seen it with Draymond. We've seen it with Rasheed Wallace. We've seen it with Dwight Howard. You've talked about it yourself. There is a level of consistency here. You talk about, oh, this is an emotional game. Then why is it that that you were top three different years? Because
I'm an emotional guy for you.
I understand that,
but you have to control your emotions.
What about the other 400 players?
We guys who led the league in texts like Luke is and Russell Westbrook and myself, we can't help that we have more passion for the game than guys like yourself. I mean, that's just part of it.
That's not funny. I hear people laughing in the background. That's not funny. Look,
the entire studio crew is laughing.
Yeah, no, Perk. I understand your point, but ultimately Luka Doncic is going to be a force for the Dallas Mavericks. And if every year, the last 10 games, or the last 5 games, he's worried about whether or not he's going to miss a game because of a suspension, all you got to do is dial it back three times. Don't get three of those technicals, two of those technicals, and then you're fine. Or at least have it kind of in your brain if you like to get technicals from a tactical standpoint to help your team or to help your case. You got to do it month by month, kind of have that number in your head.
Well, look, I will say two things. First of all, producer Hillary just got in my ear to Richard make it clear that also the entire control room was laughing when Perk made fun of you just now. Second thing happened there is that they do reset for the playoffs. So when we get to the playoffs, you get a clean slate, and then it's after the 7th technical that you start getting that every other game, and that is, of course, as we all remember, Richard, you were on the court for it. The 2016 finals, Draymond
Green. Don't know what you're talking about.
Pulled from one game because of that last technical.
No idea.
All right, I want to move on. Let's take a look. You should remember that fondly because it led to your championship ring.
Honestly.
Today's top shot of the week brought to you by Walgreens. Let's take a look. 2 seconds left last night. Fred VanVleet sinking a clutch 3 to force overtime. We've seen Fred hit many clutch shots in the recent past, dating back to that, of course, championship run. However, in overtime, the Wizards then pulling off the win. They are 12-3 in their last 15 games, very firmly now in that play-in tournament picture. So, Perk, how dangerous are the Wizards if they make the playoffs? They would still have to win 2 of those play-in games just to get in and face the top seed in the East.
Well, Rachel, they are very dangerous, and we're talking about one of the hottest teams in the NBA. What, winning 12 out of their last 15? Russell Westbrook is on a tear right now. He is ferocious. When you think of Russell Westbrook and his approach to the game of basketball, I think of Mike Tyson and his approach to boxing. People do not want to see this man coming. And then you have Bradley Beal, the second leading scorer, a walking bucket. And they're playing with a sense of urgency. They're playing with energy. And the kid, you know, I'm bad with names, but the kid Gafford, right, that they acquired from the Chicago Bulls, has been a perfect fit. Has been a perfect fit, okay? Because he's a lob threat. He's an offensive rebound. He plays with a certain type of tenacity. Rui Hachimura is playing well. Nobody wants to see this dynamic duo come in the first round. You just don't. They have nothing to lose if they get in the playoff. They have nothing to lose in everything in the game.
So they will lose. I think they will make it, but understand, if they get in, they're going to be the eighth seed if they get it. Like, if it were to start today, they would be the eighth seed. That would put them against the 76ers. Now, while I truly respect Russell, I think he's one of the all-time greats. Not of this era. I do believe, like, his talent is an all-time great. That's why he's about to pass Oscar Robertson and is going to add another 30 to his assist total, or to his triple-double total before. But ultimately, we've seen those triple-doubles not translate into the postseason, right? We've seen it not translate for multiple years on multiple teams. And I'm not saying that he's not going to go out and get triple-doubles, but I just think once you're able to key in on Russ in a seven-game series.
Triple-doubles that aren't translating, it's just you get defended differently.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can lure him into taking more bad shots.
But yeah, I'm saying his dominance from that area of multiple stats.
But that's so false.
It's not false. First of all, you look at in OKC after Kevin Durant left. You look at his time in Houston.
Look at it. Richard, listen, let me tell you something. One thing about me is that league pass is all over my house. And I'm going to tell you something. When KD left OKC, I'm going to give you two scenarios. Game 6, They are down 3-2 to the Utah Jazz. They need to force a game 7 to come home. Russell Westbrook goes into Utah and give them a 40-piece spicy. Paul George goes 2-for-16. Okay, take it another year. The Russell Westbrook against James Harden, the Rockets in Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook is on the road. He's about to force a game 6 going back to Oklahoma, a chance to tie the series up. He is tearing the Rockets up in the third quarter. Billy Donovan subs him out. Russell Westbrook says, hey, no, I'm good. Billy Donovan subs him out to start of the fourth. All of a sudden, the Rockets go on the run. He comes back in the game. They're down 8, and it went downhill from there. So don't give me that Russell Westbrook slander about
it. That's not slander. First of all, don't you dare start twisting. I am not slandering him. I think he is set. I started with the all-time greats. I just don't think that this team, this iteration, if they're at the 8th seed, that they will be able to really challenge Philly or Milwaukee or the Brooklyn Nets.
I want to hear Rachel.
Okay. I was just going to say this. I would be excited to see a series in the first round with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Russell Westbrook, and Bradley Beal on the court together.
Love it.
So even though I agree with Richard that the Sixers would be favored, I think it would be a really fun series.
Great series.
I grew up in that area. It's, 2 hours back and forth. You could drive back and forth. It'd be great. So it'd be fun. I can't wait to see how it turns out. The whole play-in tournament is on the East is going to actually be pretty cool. All right, coming up, Anthony Davis listed as probable tonight against the Blazers. We will break down the playoff implications of this game next. They are huge. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. It is Friday, so it's Zach Lowe's 10 Things I Like and Don't Like Day. What is Zach like? Jason Tatum's Bully Ball. Check out the column to see what else Zach digs into.
Zach can hit you with the info.
The Lakers did lose Anthony Davis for the second half last night due to back spasms. AD listed as probable tonight. That game has huge playoff implications. It's not only the hobbled Laker here, right? It's not just AD. Talen Horton-Tucker has also been ruled out with a calf strain. Dennis Schroeder out for at least another week because of the league's health and safety protocols. LeBron not on the bench the last two games. Or Dave McMenamin reporting he was excused to, quote, stay off the ankle as he recovers. So, Perk, what did you learn from that blowout loss to the Clippers last night?
Well, one, the obvious, right? The importance of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But two, the others are not that good. And I know that this team was built around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but Andre Drummond went on a worldwide tour once he got bought out, went visiting and taking phone calls and doing all that. And I expected more out of him. I'm expecting more out of him, and he's not lived up to it. I'm expecting to see Andre Drummond go out there and be that guy to go out there and get you 15 and 15 a night along with 3 blocks, and he's not doing that. I would expect Kyle Kuzma. This is your opportunity to elevate your game right now and show the world that, hey, I am a guy that you can mention when you start mentioning these young guys around the league without LeBron James being there. So when I look at this Laker roster, I'm looking at Markieff Morris, and I'm looking at Caldwell Pope, and I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, I understand y'all don't have y'all top dogs, but you at least got to show some type of fight. You at least got to show something that you belong.
Well, look, we're sitting here talking about a 4-game losing streak for the Brooklyn Nets, and they have 2 of the top 10 players in the league, right, in Kyrie and Kevin Durant. So now you go and take off. If you were to take off 2 of those guys and it was just Kyrie, like this is the same thing that's going on in L.A. This team is built around 2 players that are not there. So we can't say, oh, well, this is your opportunity. This year, yes, they can do it, but if they were those players, then they probably would be making a lot more money and wouldn't be around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I understand your point. But even Drummond, I personally believe that Drummond, you won't see his impact until he's playing in the system that they brought him into play. And right now, this is so far from that system. But the Lakers, in my opinion, you look at Anthony Davis and you look at Schroeder that's out for 2 weeks and Bron is trying to get back to 100%. I think the Lakers are going to be in the play-in game. I do.
We'll get to that in a minute about what has to happen. I do want to just say one more thing before we move on from that Lakers-Clippers game last night. I learned from that game that the Clippers are again rounding into form. They've had some great stretches this year. They had then some injury issues. Kawhi, though, has been back and playing consistently. We got Patrick Beverley back finally. And they just looked like just such a functioning, high-level team that this is a team that we know went in with huge expectations in the postseason last year. A lot of people picked them as a championship pick. That obviously did not happen the way they wanted it to. Expectations much lower this year. But I don't know. They might be a better team going into this postseason, even though most people aren't looking at them, than they were last year. And I am excited watching that game. I know it is against a Lakers team that is totally beat up and missing its guys. But I saw a functioning Clippers team that looked smooth, not just from an X's and O's standpoint, but just the way they were relating to each other. And Rondo was running the offense. I really liked the way they were playing last night, Perk. So.
Rachel, can I say something? Because you brought up a great point. And the one standing player that stood out to me for the Clippers was Boogie Cousins. And not just last night, he had a positive impact even in the last game that they lost. Like, he's coming in because we don't know. The world don't know if Serge Ibaka is coming back this season at all. They don't know this. And so the pickup of Boogie Cousins on a 10-day, then re-sign them to another 10-day, and then re-sign them for the rest of the season along with Rondo. Rondo has this thing, and we all know, he puts that key in your back and give you the ultimate confidence, because I like him out there on the floor with Cousins and Luke Kennard. Like, I looked at that and I was like, that was a bright spot. We all know Kawhi is going to be Kawhi later on. He's coming off an injury.
But I when you look at the history, a lot of like teams that are put together, they win championships in their second year. Mm-hmm. You know, Bron did it with the Lakers, Miami. When you look at Kobe and Pau Gasol, they won a championship in their second year. Sorry to bring that up, Perk. But I'm just saying, when you look at groups, their second year is typically their better year. And that is over the course of probably the last 20 years. You can look at multiple examples of that. So now we look at this Clipper team and you're like, okay, we need to round out our roster. We saw our deficiencies last year. We're playing with a chip on our shoulder. We add Rondo. We bring in Boogie Cousins for some toughness and some depth at the big. So I think they are a lot more dangerous and a lot bigger contenders than other people might be given.
And I was speaking fast. I said functioning. I mean high functioning. I mean, I think I was very impressed with the Clippers last night. All right, let's move on to tonight, though, because getting to what Richard was just talking about, the winner between the Blazers and Lakers will clinch the head-to-head tiebreaker. That is important. The Lakers would have a 73% chance to finish the season down in the play-in tournament zone if they lose this tiebreaker, just a 9% chance to fall into the play-in tournament if they win. This is all according to BPI. Remember, teams like the Lakers want to stay in the top six and avoid the play-in. The seventh and eighth seeds, they only have two chances to win and earn that spot in the playoffs. So, Richard, what are your expectations for the Lakers tonight, given everything you know surrounding these defending champs?
I'll tell you what, when the facts change, my opinions will change. Right now, the Lakers aren't playing great basketball. Portland has been playing better. They had a really tough stretch there a couple of weeks ago. So I think the Trailblazers win this game. Historically, it's a tough place to play up there, and they're playing for a lot. Lakers shorthanded. I think the Lakers are going to be in the play-in.
I see the Portland Trailblazers putting the Lakers over their lap and giving them a straight spank tonight. And I think they're going to win by double figures because, look, they just don't have the personnel to match up with what Portland has right now. And let's talk about Melo, right? I know that Jordan Clarkson might be the sixth man of the year, but Melo right now has been making a strong case to put him in that conversation. But this backcourt of C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard that just both came off of 30 points apiece in their last out, I just don't see Portland losing this game, and I see them winning in great fashion.
Well, thank you for that visual image there, Perk. I'm going to be thinking about that during the break. Up next, we're going to talk Joel Embiid. He dropped 34 and 12 in just 25 minutes of action in his last game. Ooh. Will he dominate again tonight? We will discuss and look ahead. Stay with us. All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Last time we saw Joel Embiid on the court, he cooked the Rockets. 34 points, 12 rebounds in just 25 minutes. Perk, expect more of the same from Embiid against the Pels tonight.
Absolutely, and no one can stop him. This is a 275-pound version of Akeem Olajuwon. He's going to do it in the night.
No, there's not going to be any stopping Embiid. I think there's going to be a little too late if we're going to still talk about the MVP. But ultimately, you know, the dude's a force. And this is why, fully healthy, they're in the conference finals.
Well, look, we had a conversation a month ago or so of, like, has Joel played enough games to be considered for MVP? Yes. The answer is yes. But also what Nikola Jokic has done, not only all season, but particularly since Jamal Murray went down. Wow. And I think you're right that just he was already leading.
Is that your MVP perk?
Elevating. We'll
no,
discuss.
It's not.
We
Who's
will discuss
MVP?
That later. Well, go ahead.
MVP3.
And there we go. We'll discuss that, and we'll get into that.
I just want people adding him.
Our league pass game of the night is a doozy. Speaking of Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets versus the Jazz. All eyes will be on the matchup between the MVP front runner and two-time Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert. So, what are your expectations for the Battle of the Bigs tonight, Perk?
Well, look, Jokic is going to win this battle by a landslide. Rudy Gobert is good at help side defense, that's it, but he can't guard Jokic. But Utah is going to win the game, okay? So I will say that.
Yeah, it's always tough when you're talking about an offensive center versus a defensive center. So, you know, Rudy Gobert can have 12 points and 15 rebounds, which is a great game for him in four blocks. But then Jokic can put up 28, 13, and 2. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, we outplayed him. It's like, no, he did a good job. Ultimately, it's not a battle about them. It's a battle of their teams. That's the most important.
Rachel, we want to hear you.
I was just going to say, we'll get into this MVP discussion maybe next time you guys are both on.
Relax those eyebrows. Is that a pink shirt?
The jump returns Monday. We'll see you later.
Is that a pink shirt? Is that a pink shirt that you're wearing? Or is it, that is pink. Or is that mauve? What is it, purple? What is that?